We have two trials at our institution right now where we are giving preoperative gefitinib, tyrosine kinase inhibitor, or preoperative Avastin, bevacizumab. And we're able to see in those patients that are giving one of those agents alone, whether it's shrinking their tumor. And based on that observation, and of course based on the findings at surgery that we've had some successful adjuvant treatment, that gives us greater confidence in recommending these treatments adjuvantly. And we're in the process of doing clinical trials, testing that concept now. It's clearly doable, and I think that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, plus, you have the ability to look at biologic correlates of what's going on.
You can do that. Unfortunately, how to do that is not worked out right now. I mean, the potential is there.
Is the problem the pre-op biopsy, getting the tissue out of that?
The problem is the pre-treatment biopsy.
Right,
that's one issue. But the second issue is, I think most people get multiple treatments now. I don't think anybody is giving just erlotinib or just bevacizumab. And the people that you see, the surgical specimen that you have, and you might assess some biological endpoint, they've also had chemotherapy, so it makes it harder to do that. The one thing that we've seen with both gefitinib and with bevacizumab is that we can give them safely. We have not increased the morbidity of the surgery or the mortality as well, which is very, very important in these situations. And, you know, I think that other diseases where bevacizumab has been used more commonly, like colorectal cancer, it's sort of set the stage that you can successfully do and safely do surgery despite having bevacizumab on board.
You know, and the other tumors, people have talked about 6 weeks or so as the timing. What did you do in your study?
We sort of used that 6 weeks. Actually, we were the first to operate on people after bevacizumab. And I think there was some concern about that. What we've done is we have combined two different ideas. The one idea is to give that 6 weeks beforehand, so before surgery of not having bevacizumab. So we would plan, for example, 4 cycles of chemotherapy, but it turns out to be 5 cycles. The first cycle is bevacizumab alone. The 5th cycle is chemo alone, and the 3 in the middle are the 2 together. So in addition to giving a 6-week time period between the last bevacizumab and the surgery, people are still being treated with chemo, we also have that opportunity to give bevacizumab alone up front. And that gave us the opportunity to test in those individual patients. And for bevacizumab, what's its single agent activity, which nobody had done before.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of what Chris Willett did in rectal cancer, where I think they got 1 dose of Bev. They tried to see what was going on, and then they added. What did you guys
Our work was very much influenced by that.
And you actually saw a response, at least
to
Bev. Can you talk about what you actually saw in the study?
We're still analyzing the data, but it was very clear that most patients had some shrinkage. The majority had some shrinkage to Bev alone, which makes sense. What we're doing now is to fine-tune the CAT scanner readings. As it turns out, no one has really checked the reproducibility of the CAT scan for individual lesions. We've just completed a trial to do that. We took patients with lung lesions. They had a CAT scan. 5 minutes later, they had another CAT scan. And what we're doing now is we're analyzing that data. So hopefully we'll be able to get that out by the end of the year. I think what we're going to see is probably about roughly 10%. Anything above 10% is real. So if it shrinks by 10%, it's going to be a sign of shrinkage. If it grows by 10 or 11%, it's very likely to be growth. So having those numbers are very helpful because you're going to either have greater enthusiasm to continue a drug, or you're going to stop it a lot earlier. I think that's what we're going to do. The second thing we're doing as part of that is we're using volumetric measurements, which can be done from the same CT data that you get on a normal helical scan. It's just a different software. And what we've seen already is that there is a quicker and more substantial differentiation between growth and shrinkage based on volume. So it may very well be that volume is going to be better. And, you know, I think there's kind of uniform agreement that there's got to be a better way than the RECIST system to say whether or not cancer grows or shrinks. It's a very imprecise system and was created long before we had the CAT scanner.